Luke chapter 7 from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word, and to his name be the honor and the praise. Let us now sing in Psalm number 32. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he hath done, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not his sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile, nor fraud is found therein. Psalm 32, we shall sing verses 1 to 5. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he hath done.
O blessed
Blessed.
Let us turn for a few minutes to the passage that we read together in Luke chapter 7. Let us read together again the two verses 37 and 38. Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Particularly the word that we have in verse 37. A woman in the city which was a sinner. I want us to look at this very lovely and very moving scene that we have here before us, with perhaps a particular eye towards these words, a woman in the city which was a sinner. It is one of the more amazing things about this story, the way that Jesus so freely accepts all that this woman does for him. A woman in the city that was a sinner. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, without sin, and yet here he is, accepting her expressions, accepting all her contacts. I think that is one of the most amazing things about this whole story. We don't know the identity of this woman at all. There is really no ground at all for believing that she was Mary Magdalene. There is no ground in the scripture for that. We know that she had led a life of sin, and from the way that she is introduced, one would certainly be justified in thinking that she was a woman of loose morals. She was known in the city as a woman which was a sinner. Other than that, really, we don't know anything about her. We don't know her name. We don't know anything. But here she is on the pages of Scripture. Here she is making her affections for Jesus Christ, making them known and showing them and pouring out what was in her own heart. Now, we don't need to go into the possible background of this woman, but the one thing that we can safely say, I think, is that this was not her first encounter with Jesus Christ. I think we can pretty safely say that she came into this house as a saved sinner. She was still labeled as a woman in the city who was a sinner, and the stigma of that still attached to her, and it was, one can sense the atmosphere in the house, and the attitude that the people in the house would have towards her would be based on what she was. She was known as a notorious sinner, and yet there must have been a great day in her experience. A day when she had a life-changing confrontation with Jesus Christ. Because it is very clear that she comes into this house as someone who loved Jesus Christ, whose heart was full of love for him, and who had so much love and affection burning in her heart that it needed to find an outlet. It needed to be expressed. There was a day, we are sure, when this woman's sins were washed away. A day when she was cleansed. A day when she was forgiven. All her sins, the whole mountain of them, past, present, and future, when they were all swept away by being united with Jesus Christ, by being joined to him, she became a true believer. And from that moment, her sins, although they were many, and they were perhaps mountainous, and they were perhaps particularly black or scarlet, if you like. And yet, there was that moment when the whole lot was moved off her and on to Jesus Christ. One glorious instant, nothing more than an instant, when the whole lot was transferred from him onto her. It is also very clear that she had that assurance that he had done this part, that she was utterly certain that her sins were forgiven. Now, we don't know anything about that first meeting, but I think we have to assume that there was such a meeting when he would have met with her, when he would have talked to her about her sin, and when he would have explained to her how her sins could be removed. But from that moment, her destiny was completely changed. Up to that moment, she was heading for a lost eternity. She was heading for eternal torment. And perhaps she knew it. But the fear of that certainly didn't seem to make a difference to her. But from the moment she met Jesus Christ, from the moment he forgave her and cleansed her from all her sin, her destiny from that moment was utterly, utterly different. She was, from that moment, heading for glory. Not a glory which had been reduced because she was such a great sinner. Not a glory which was to be in some way attenuated because she was so bad. In fact, it is perhaps the other way round, that because she had been forgiven so much, because Jesus Christ had done so much for her, she had such a greater appreciation of what he had done. She had so much praise in her heart. She was so alive in the spirit because she knew that a great mountain of sin had been removed from her, that it was gone, gone, gone. Her destiny was heaven. Her destiny was to see the glory and to share the glory of Jesus Christ. She was now one of those to whom he himself looked forward, looking forward to that moment when, as he said in his own prayer, that he would show them his glory. She was full of thankfulness. It poured out of every pore in her body. Thankfulness because of what Jesus Christ had done for her. And you know, this woman is such a rebuke to us. She
She is such a rebuke to me. Why do I not love the way this woman loved? Why do I have not this fire in my heart which she had? Is it because I don't have a sufficient appreciation of my sin? Surely it must be. It is not because my sin was any less than hers. But she had been given this great gift, this great blessing of being given an appreciation, a realization of the Lord, the weight of sin, which Jesus Christ had removed from her. Now let us look at a few things about this scene. First thing we see here is that this woman wept. She came into this house and, well, we can say that she had a plan, that if she was going to be allowed entry, I'm sure there was that uncertainty. First of all, would these Pharisees, would Simon the Pharisee, would he allow her to come into his house? Especially when Jesus Christ was there. There would be that question, and hopefully that she would get entry. She had with her this box of ointment, and she was planning to simply go in, I'm sure, and just anoint him, perhaps anoint his head, and then just leave, having done it. But you know, things didn't go according to plan, I don't think. I don't think the tears were in this woman's plan at all. Planned tears are no use. We can plan our tears, you know. And very often, we have to assess how much tears mean. Tears, of course, are most precious when they are completely unplanned, when they are spontaneous. This woman didn't say to herself, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do all this and this and this. And I'm going to weep. I'm going to wipe his feet with my hair. That wouldn't be in the plan at all. But she came in with her own simple plan. But things just went completely different. Her entry, of course, would have raised some eyebrows in that house. A woman in the city that was a sinner, coming into this self-righteous company of Pharisees, coming in and heading straight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says about her that she stood behind him. She stood at his feet, behind him, weeping. Now, in order to understand that, we have to remember that in these situations in the East, they wouldn't have chairs as we have them, but they just reclined at table, leaning on one elbow with their feet out behind the one that was sitting next to them. Reclining at table. And obviously what she did was she came and she stood just at his feet. And suddenly, I suppose, as happens to us all, her emotions completely overcame her. It all just bubbled up from inside her. And she found herself just standing there, unable to do what she intended to do. And all she can do, stand there and weep. She was weeping tears of thankfulness, tears which had behind them the thought of what Jesus Christ had done for us. They were spontaneous tears, they were real tears, and they were, because of these things, very precious tears. But here we have her standing at his feet, with the tears coming from her eyes. And I think that we can perhaps reconstruct a little of what happened here, that she would have stood just above his feet, his feet would be just right in front of where she stood. And her tears, of course, would fall on his feet. Now, you can imagine the others in the house saying to themselves at this point, well, this is really, we shouldn't have allowed this woman in here at all. This woman, she is such a sinner. And here she is with her tears falling on the feet. They might have thought contaminating the feet of the one who was their special guest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I suppose that it would have been difficult for her to see those tears falling on Jesus' feet, but we have no doubt at all that those around her, including the host Simon himself, would have been very quick to point out, look what you're doing, woman. What's this? Your tears are falling on our guest's feet. Then, almost, I suppose, instinctively or reflexly, she kneels down. She has nothing to wipe them with in this city, which was a sinner. Here she is in this Pharisee's house, surrounded with all these self-righteous Pharisees. Here she is at the feet of the honored guest. What a guest! The Lord Jesus Christ, wiping her feet with the hairs of her head. Well, you can imagine the reaction. We shouldn't have let her in at all. This is just too bad. This whole situation is getting out of hand. She kissed his feet. That's the second thing she does. In verse 45, there we read that she kissed. Jesus says that she hath washed my feet with a. She gave me. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. It wasn't just one kiss. It was a repeated kissing. She did not stop, but continued to kiss them. And the situation, as far as those who were watching it, the situation was getting worse and worse all the time. I wonder if you notice one amazing thing about this whole situation. In a way, this is one of the things that really enriches the story. It makes it just so beautiful and so encouraging. When her tears began to fall on his feet, he didn't draw his feet away. When she dropped down and began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head, he didn't draw his feet away. I think that is so moving. That he accepted this from her. That he allowed this to go on. Don't you think that's amazing? Not only amazing, but don't you think it's encouraging? Does it not encourage you and I to express our thankfulness, our forgiveness, our cleansing, to express to him the debt that we owe? Because we have a clear indication here that he accepts it. A woman in the city that was a sinner. And here she is with this inestimable privilege of having her overtures, if you like, of having her approaches, having her affections, her expressions of love, even in their clumsiness, accepted by Jesus Christ. Of course, she would be saying to herself, what a mess I made of all this. She would be saying to herself, why is it that he is not withdrawing himself? Why is he letting me do this? Why is he allowing me this indulgence? Oh, how encouraging that he accepted and received and took to the affections and the expressions of affections of this woman, a woman in the city that was a sinner. You and I would have called her by something quite different, I'm sure. And yet, here she is, being received and being accepted in all her expressions, with all their clumsiness, with all their untidiness, with all their sort of unrespectableness. This was not a case of, as we say sometimes, things being done decently and in order. That had gone out the window. It was far, far beyond that. But it was to me far, far more beautiful than, as we say, things done decently and in order. Sometimes we have to just surrender our defenses. Sometimes we have to take away the shield that is on our heart. Sometimes we need to open the doors and let all that is in pour out. However clumsy, however messy, however unacceptable to some that might be. Because if we are sinners, if we are sinners with the hope that Jesus Christ has taken it all away from us, then surely in our hearts there must be a reservoir. There must be dammed up feelings which need to have an egress, which need to flow out sometimes, even if they make a mess. As did it here. He allowed it. Then something happens. Strange thing happens. Up to this point, the attention of these people were so much on the woman, so much on this intruder into this company. The attention suddenly seems to shift to Jesus Christ himself, the attention of the people. And the Pharisees which had bidden him, verse 39, when he saw it, spake within himself, began to have doubts about this man, saying, if this man were a prophet. Of course, he was far more than a prophet. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. So was he a sinner. But he didn't have that great blessing of knowing that he was a sinner. It's sore to know that you're a sinner. And it's very, very sore and harrowing to get even a glimpse into just what kind of sinner you are. But it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. This woman was blessed with that. Simon had no idea of it. Because all he saw was this defiled woman. And he himself so clean by comparison. And he says, this man, I've got some doubts about this man. You know, if he was a spiritual man, if he was real in his religion, then he would know what kind of woman this was. And she was touching him. He just couldn't get over this, that she was touching him and that he was allowing it. Because she was a sinner. They have great questions about this man, Jesus Christ. Cannot understand that most fundamental thing about him, that he is the friend of sinners. That he is the one who sat down with publicans and sinners. That he is the one who cried from the very cross itself, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he is the one who loved sinners, and having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Simon had no understanding of that, because he did not have that, what we might call, the first blessing. And that is to know that you're a sinner. And for me, to know that I am a sinner. These kisses, they speak so much, don't they? They say so much about the revelation that this woman had. What a tremendous experience she had had. What a tremendous vision she had been given of her own sin and of that sin being removed. It had to find expression. Here it is. These kisses, they speak of the one who had taken it all away for her. Now, something else perhaps might strike us here about these feet. And I'm quite sure that, well, I don't know, but I can't think that this woman would have had much knowledge of what the scripture contained. Maybe she did, I don't know. But I don't know that she would have any idea of the prophecies in like Psalm 22. Would speak about, they pierced my hands and feet. You see the significance of that. Here she was kissing these feet, and yet these feet were to be pierced for her. Her sins had only been taken away on the basis that these feet were going to be pierced. She kissed them. Oh, if she only knew what was going to happen to them. What would she have said? Would she have said perhaps words like Peter, who said, "Oh, no, no, oh, no, be it far from thee that that should happen." And yet that's the way it had to be. There is no other way that sin can be removed except by the work of the cross. Then, of course, Jesus senses the questions that were arising in the minds of Simon and his friends. And Jesus then addresses Simon. We read this parable, which he says, and you've read it all, we don't really need to go over it. Basically, this parable is bringing us to this point, this realization, that the greater the debt, the greater the love. The greater the debt that has been removed, the greater the love. Turn to the woman, and as he turns to her, he says to Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" And he goes on, "I entered into thy house. You didn't do this for me. She did this for me. You didn't do this for me. She did it for me. She did more than that. You didn't do this. She did that, and even more." So it goes on. "Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet," and so on. Wherefore, I say, that her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." She anointed his feet with the ointment. Do you think that was the plan? I don't think so. I think the plan would have been to anoint his head, or to break the box over his head. But of course, this whole plan was all out of joint by this time. This woman wouldn't even know what to do next. We see that she anointed his feet with the ointment. And again, there is the acceptance. Takes it all. He doesn't recoil from the sinner's touch. He doesn't recoil from the sinner's untidy expressions of affection and love. Oh, for a realization of what sinners we are. For a realization of the multitude of our sins, and for a realization of the awfulness of the individual sins. Do we think of ourselves as little sinners? Well, if we are, all we are is, if we do, then all we are is just little Pharisees, just like Simon. The great danger with us today is a lack of a realization of our sin, a lack of a conviction of the sin that Jesus Christ has taken from us. That is the blessing we seek. And surely, surely, at the beginning of a communion season, surely that is the first thing that we should be seeking, the first thing that we should be praying for, that we would have again perhaps a fresh or a renewed vision of our sin, in order that we might from that point appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us, in order that our hearts would be filled with love for him. What is his response to her? This is another very encouraging thing. Not only does he accept our expressions of love and affection, even although they might be messy and untidy. Not only that, but he responds to them. What a response this is. He said unto her, verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. Is there any greater thing you desire? You come into this communion, perhaps seeking a blessing. I hope you are, and I hope you're filled with expectation. I hope so. That your prayers are filled with expectation. But I wonder if you have this in your prayer, that God would show us all our sin. I'm sure you know the story of the servant girl who was working in this house, and there was this minister who used to be a guest back and forth at this house. And first time he met her, he got into conversation with her, and he realized that she had no understanding of scripture or of the Christian life at all. And he says to her, I want you to pray this prayer until I come back again. And he gave her this prayer. Lord, show me myself. Some months went by, and he came back to the house, and he asked about the servant girl, and oh, they said, we're afraid she's not very well at all. She is just going around in sorrow and in tears day after day. And he says, well, can I speak to her? So she came, and he asked her what was wrong. Well, she says, I prayed the prayer that you asked me to pray, and God answered my prayer. God showed me myself. And I just cannot stop weeping because of my sin, because of what I am. Well, the minister says to her, I'm going to give you another prayer. And I want you to pray that prayer until I come back again. The prayer was, Lord, show me thyself. So he went away, and the next time he came back, he asked for the servant girl. And they said, oh, she is utterly, utterly different. She goes around the house singing all day. She's just as usual. She was completely changed. So he asked to speak to her, and he asked her about herself. And she told him, well, she says, I prayed the prayer, and the Lord God showed me himself. He showed me his glory. He showed me his mercy in Jesus Christ. He showed me all of it. And she says, I just cannot stop but sing and sing words of praise to him. Let us pray. Have mercy upon us, O God. Bring us again to the cross. Remind us again, O Lord, that our great Savior is described as the Lamb slain. Help us to again appreciate, Lord, the suffering of the cross, the endurance, and the way that it speaks of our own sin. Help us to realize that there was just no other way. Wilt thou, Lord, bless us richly in these days with a true humiliation before thee, with a true brokenness. Oh, give us the heart of the woman in the city who was a sinner.
Give us her outpourings. And, oh Lord, give us her blessing and her privilege. And if it be thy will, O Lord, wilt thou grant to us the token that was granted to her, thy sins forgiven. Bless us now and keep us. And all we ask is for the glory and for the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.